Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more. That's one of my favorites from when I was little, singing it in church, and now it's a triumphant hymn. I love it. Oh, it's so fun to sing those songs and to sing all our beautiful music we sang this morning. Crown him with many crowns. That's right. Crown him with many crowns. Christ the King. He's the King. Oh, I love singing those songs. And it's so easy to imagine Christ as a king, especially as we think about all the times in worship where he acted like a king, casting out the demons, you know, feeding the 5,000, doing all the miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, teaching the multitudes. He was a kingly guy, and he had all his followers and his disciples there. It's not even so hard to imagine Christ reigning here right now on Christ the King Sunday, and that he's fulfilling his promise that wherever two or three people are gathered, there he is with us. He's here right now, we can say. Christ reigns at St. Luke's. He's the King even here. And that he pours out his Spirit to us in baptism, and that he's holding a feast for us today right here at the table, and we're all invited. And that he listens to our prayers, he holds court and says, come and give me your prayers. I want to hear what you have to say. That's our King, Jesus Christ, our King. Even reigning now. Triumphant. But God confronts us today, though, with the deepest way that Christ reigns. With the deepest way that Jesus is the Savior. He's the Savior from the cross. He's Christ, meaning the anointed one, the chosen one, from the cross. You see, all those people who were standing there at the foot of the cross, they were right. Even though they didn't know they were right, they were. They were like, oh, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ, you're the chosen one. They were right. He was. And he was so from the cross. So what does that mean, though? What does it mean for Christ to be the chosen one, the Messiah, the Savior from the cross? Well, in order to unpack that, in order to dig a little bit deeper into that, let's look at one of the most, maybe, I don't know, I know for me growing up, I didn't understand what we were saying when we said in the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell. What does that mean, he descended into hell? Let's look at that, and that will help us understand what it means for Jesus to be the Savior from the cross. He descended into hell. We say that all the time when we say the Apostles' Creed. You'll hear about Christ defeating hell in the Eucharistic prayer today, right before we have Holy Communion. What does it mean that Christ descended into hell, descended to the dead? Well, first it means that our Savior desires to be everyone's Savior. And that the church isn't just the people who are alive, but the church is everyone who has died in Christ. That Christ rules in all times over all people. Just like I said to the kids, all those who have died in Christ, Christ rules over them too. That we don't need to worry about their care, but Christ takes care of them. That Christ's kingdom extends even to the people who have died. And that his love and tenderness is bigger than we can even imagine. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 14. He says, we do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, for this was Christ's goal, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Christ's power is over everyone. And that's what this means here. Let's see if we can see this picture. Can you bring that up there, Gabriel? I need my angel. There it is. That's my angel Gabriel in the back there. So there's a picture, an ancient picture of Christ descending into hell. And you see those, it looks like panels crossed on the bottom there of the picture. Those are the gates of hell, the gates of Hades. And they're broken down because Christ rules there. Christ reigns there. And he's lifting up Adam and Eve out of their graves. The first man, the first woman, he's there to lift them up out of their graves. And you see those little dots. Maybe some of you can't see the details, but you see those little red and gray things. Some of those are broken locks, and they're broken chains. They're broken bars. Because Christians for centuries have understood death to be like a prison. And Christ breaks into the prison. He breaks down the gates. And he says, I rule here too. And what my word and what I say goes. So that's what it means for Christ to descend to the dead, to descend into hell. That's what this picture says. That's what Paul is saying. Whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. And that's what matters. Nothing else has power over us except Jesus. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that not only does Jesus break into the realm of death, Jesus eliminates death. Jesus annihilates the annihilator. Jesus murders murder. Death dies. Hell goes to hell. You see here, this is what Paul says. He says, this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, the end comes only after Jesus has destroyed every ruler, every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And there you see Christ trampling on death, who is chained up and bound and under his feet, as our ancient Christian brothers and sisters have depicted him. And you see the gates of hell there broken down, and Christ raising up the dead. You see, we know the end of the story. We know the end of the crucifixion. Christ is raised up again. But in order for Christ to reign everywhere, he has to go and destroy the things that would oppose him. And so he destroys death itself. He destroys the place of the dead itself. This is what John says in his vision in the book of Revelation. He says, Hades itself gets burned up in the lake of fire. That's what it means for Christ to descend into hell, is that he triumphs over it. That's pretty good news on Christ the King Sunday. So what does that mean for us today, though? Death and the devil seem pretty alive right now. Destruction and hell on earth seem pretty real. I'm sure it felt pretty real to the thief who hung there right next to Jesus, bleeding, dying, naked and ashamed, fully aware of his own guilt. Destruction and hell probably felt pretty dang real to him. But there's Jesus. Right there next to him. The King of the universe, who in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That's what we hear in Colossians today. God in human form, choosing to be there next to that criminal, that scoundrel, God chooses to go and hang himself up with that guy. Why? I think Jesus, in fact, I know, Jesus hung out there just to hear his prayer. Just to hear him say, Lord, remember me when I come into your kingdom. And Jesus wanted to be crucified there with that guy who deserved to be crucified. Jesus wanted to be there just so he could preach to that guy on the cross and say, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." That's what it means for Christ to descend into hell. Is that he wants to be with you in hell. Whatever is your hell, whatever is crucifying you, and it will ultimately all, for all of us, be death itself that crucifies us, because we will all lose that battle. But Christ wants to be with you even in death, so that he can be your shepherd even there. So that even when your ears are deaf and dead, he can preach into your ear and say, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And because he is Lord and King of the universe, your deaf and dead ears can even hear his voice when you are dead. And he will reach down there just like he was reaching down for Adam and Eve and pull you up and say, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That's why Christ is the King. Because he went to hell for you and came back just the same. So trusting that Jesus is our Savior who is hanging out there, right there with us, the best thing we can do is pray the prayer of that crucified sinner who hung there next door. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." So let's stand up and sing that.